like I had a good slice of beef last night.
I don't have time to edit that properly. We'll play that later. 503. It really is true, though. One end is big and one end is really small.
It makes all the difference.
Jesus.
All right.
It is, no, it's a medical story. It is a medical story that we are reading here as part of this news programming. As part of this content-rich news program, which airs in middays on this radio station, operating in accordance and part of the public interest, convenience, and necessity, as mandated by the Federal Communications Commission. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. And some quick news here, and these are things I'm not going to be able to get to later on, so we're just going to do, this is a quick, do we have that, the A news pile sound?
Oh, yeah.
Let's just do that. Let's quickly roll through the news pile. And these, thank you. Listen to how great that is.
You know, I love this. I love any excuse to play this.
It's got a certain funk to it, does it not? All right. Let's see. So these are news stories that have been piling up. So we're just going to quickly... Yes?
Oh, no.
You give me the weird... You give me a stink eye.
No, somebody was pressing their face against the window in a couple.
So this is the news pile here. These are stories that we have not had a chance to get to, and that we may not get a chance to later, so we're just going to quickly roll through them. Desperate Housewives star Marsha Cross married fiancé Tom Mahoney Saturday with plenty of her Wisteria Lane pals present. Here's the only reason I care about this.
Yeah, why are you reading this?
Okay, listen, sons of bitches, I'm about to tell you. Here's the thing. I have never once seen Desperate Housewives. The only time I ever saw it, I saw like about 10 minutes of Desperate Housewives because Laura was watching it. And the only reason she was watching it is because it was one of those programs that apparently everybody was watching. And so, it, like with so many of these programs, I couldn't bring myself to do it, and so I just threw it over her if she became the proxy. Here's the only reason I care about this. Is because Marsha Cross, it does have Felicity Huffman, who I love, because she was on Sports Night. And she's married to William H. Macy, one of the finest actors of our time. Marsha Cross, though, I have always had kind of a thing for her because when I was about 11 years old, and a lot of guys have this.
How did I know this was going to go this way?
What? What way?
You always have a thing for somebody. That's the only reason you read these stories.
That's the only reason any guy reads any story like this, because it's so, what am I like? I care about.
Did you just like it when she was Elle Evil in Melrose Place?
See, and that's not even really what it's about for me.
Kimberly.
All guys, you know, remember in AI, that movie with Haley Joel Osment, the Spielberg film AI, where she went through the process of, the five-step process of imprinting Haley Joel Osment with her, like, pattern, and they're like, be careful, because once you imprint it, like, the robot unit will love you as though you are its parent. And you had to break the seal, and you had to say yes, like, three times, and, well, guys have this thing when they're about 12, 13, 14. Some actress, some chick, some celebrity, some hot girl that you will see, and it's just imprinted on your brain forevermore. It's just one of those girls that you totally have a thing for and always will. Doesn't matter how old they get. Barbara Eden is one of those girls. Because when I saw her as a kid, and she was already, like, old then, when I saw her as a kid and I Dream of Jeannie, man, I gotta tell you, go back and watch I Dream of Jeannie. It is astonishing how hot Barbara Eden was in that show. It was unbelievable. Here's another chick who was hot. You don't really think about this. Meredith Burney, or Meredith Baxter. What is her? Meredith Baxter. She was the Elise Keaton on Family Ties. She was cute there. You go back and watch All the President's Men, and man, Meredith Baxter plays one of the wives in All the President's Men. She's like the hottest thing on two legs. And you don't really think about it because now she's just like the 80-year-old mom from Family Ties. Man, she's unbelievably gorgeous. So it is with Marsha Cross. Marsha Cross was in an episode of Tales from the Dark Side that I saw when I was about 12 and a half years old, and she played a vampire. She played a female vampire, and she had, like, the great red hair, and then she was in, like, this sort of bustier thing, which in my memory is a lot more revealing than it probably was, because it was, like, 1985 or something. So I sort of, in a low-key way, follow the careers of three women who I saw in about a six-month period when I was a kid. Just as I was becoming a young man, there are three women that sort of came across my radar, and I follow them to this day. One is Marsha Cross. One is Elizabeth Daly. Elizabeth Daly was Dottie in Pee-wee's Big Adventure. And she was also the chick who sang at the prom in Better Off Dead with John Cusack. When they go to the dance and Ricky Smith is there, and with what's-her-name, the exchange student, and there's that horrible 80s band playing.
Monique,
he's there. This is Ricky! And they go to the dance, and there's that band singing, I'd be better off dead than to live with it. That's Elizabeth Daly, who is also Dottie. The third woman is Colleen Camp, who played the French maid in Clue.
Oh, my gosh.
I love her. To this day, I follow the careers of those three women. There you go.
Okay. What is she doing?
Nothing. Okay. She's occupying space in my fantasy file. That's it. That's all she does right now.
She doesn't have incredibly big breasts.
It is true. It is true. You can say that because you're a woman. If I said that, suddenly I'm all sleazy. I mention a woman's high heels and suddenly I'm perverse.
Maybe you should tell Jim Roop about that.
Well, maybe Jim Roop should start minding his own business, huh? Town and country. Is there a city called Town and Country? This is not Town and Country. This is like Pig and Pancake. Town and Country.
I know there's a truth
country.
Or a consequence.
All right. Town and Country, Florida. A woman is in stable condition after being ejected through the sunroof of her SUV during an accident. But... Ejected through the sunroof, but she weighed 600 pounds. Imagine, first of all, how would a 600-pound woman even get through the sunroof? That's a whole lot of squeeze into a tiny little hole right
there.
That's
a convertible.
Bada bing, listen to that. Yeah, that's genius right there. 37-year-old Ruth Matthews told paramedics, another vehicle cut me off in traffic. I know the evasive action to avoid a crash. Her Isuzu Amigo. This is the tiniest SUV you could possibly imagine. How would she even steer? Rolled over, she was thrown through the sunroof and onto the roadway. Investigators say she was not wearing her seatbelt. The seatbelt seems a little... You are your own airbag at that point. If you weigh 600 pounds and you're driving an Isuzu anything, you are your own packing peanuts. Peanuts is what I said there. You are your own packing peanuts. Not, yeah, peanuts. They tried to fly her, but her weight made it impossible. What else? I have Britney news to get to as well. We've got this.
And I have some, too.
Ready? I'll do one more. We'll do like one or two more here. Then we'll go to the actual, we'll go to the news desk. Verizon Airphone, long the only company to offer seatback phone service on commercial airplanes, intends to close down the service before the end of the year. Here's the thing. So Verizon is they're no longer making any money on this because no one I know, I know one person in the history of my life who's ever used those seatback airphones. The only person who ever did that was my old producer, Ty, who called me as a radio bit from an airplane because it's like $9 a minute. The only good news here is that this will finally force them to acknowledge that there's nothing dangerous about using your cell phone on an airplane. And for the love of sweet holy zombie Jesus, we'll be allowed to use our regular phones.
But that's going
to
be extremely obnoxious. Because you are trapped with all these people and listening to all these conversations.
Yeah, but here's why that's okay with me. Because it's going to lead to more stories of violence between citizens. And I'm okay with that. I'm for anything that leads to stories of violence, that leads to fisticuffs. I'm for anything that leads to the breakdown of the societal order and more, American discord.
Well, I suppose that's our business.
And yes, anything that leads to the breakdown of, that leads to social entropy, I'm okay with that. All right. Well, there you go. So there's your news pile. It's 503-733-2970. There's more to get to, but we got to go to the city desk here with Tim Riley in a second. Then we'll break, come back with Jim Roop, do more news. We got the top five. Let me get a couple of these. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Yeah, hi, Rick.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, hey, you're talking about these women that you have a crush on from your childhood that you always follow.
It's true.
I got one.
Okay.
For me, it's been Victoria Jackson.
Totally, but the SNL era Victoria Jackson.
Yeah, although she was pretty cool in Weird Al Yankovic's movie.
In UHF. Yeah, baby. And then she was in that movie Casual Sex that came out like around the time she left SNL. Have you seen her lately?
No, I was going to ask you. Last I heard, they were making jokes on SNL that she was going to marry a cop, and it was really happening in real life. Some cop from her high school.
Yeah. I will now give you the option because Rick Emerson cares.
Okay.
Do you or do you not want to know what Victoria Jackson is up to these days? I can tell you or I cannot tell you because, and again, how old were you when she became a crush of yours? 13, probably? 14, 15?
Yeah, around there. And I'd love to know what's up with her now.
Here's the thing about Victoria Jackson, too. Do you remember on SNL, since we're now apparently talking about this, about girls that made an early imprint on you when you were like 13, 14, 15? Do you remember when Victoria Jackson used to do the thing on Weekend Update when she would get on the desk and she would do a handstand and her dress would fall down like around her head and she would do like a poem while standing on her hands on the desk right in front of Dennis Miller?
She would sing I Am Not a Bimbo sometimes too.
I Am Not a Bimbo. One time she wore a brown shirt and green leggings and she was like a human Christmas tree.
Yeah, that's right.
Your breathing,
what happened to her? Right?
Breathing got a little heavy there. She's become enormously fat. And I swear to God, it's true. She's become very fat. She has, I believe, 3 children. And she's a born-again Pentecostal Christian.
Oh, no.
Oh, we're sorry. So there you go. I gave her the option. You chose poorly.
You know what? She went the way of Daisy Duke. Daisy Duke looks horrible now.
Is that true? What's her name? Catherine Bach?
She's fatter than a pig.
No. Really?
I saw her in the Inquirer a couple of years ago.
Oh, that's too bad. All right. Thank you, Steve.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks,
Rick. There you go. Do one more here. Hello. See, listen to all this content. This is, it's nothing but, man, you can't even turn around in the studio without bumping into content that we're doing right here on this, The Rick Emerson Show. Rob, hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. Hey, when I was a mere slip of a youth working at a taco chain, I was working the drive-thru, and this way a woman came through the drive-in and ordered 25 tacos. And she came up, and she had taken a futon mattress and stuck it across the front 2 seats of a Honda Accord. And she was taking up every inch of both of those.
Oh.
1 foot on one side, 1 foot on the other, steering from the center with 1 foot on the pedals.
Wait, so she had, so she had put a futon mattress across the front seat to cover the sort of space between the seats.
Exactly.
Because she needed,
And I'm such a glutton for punishment that I went out to sweep the parking lot just so I could watch her eat, and she ate about 3/4 of those tacos in about 10 minutes.
Oh.
And guess what she got to drink?
I don't know.
Diet Coke.
Diet Coke.
Yeah, that we call that doing that. That's pulling a Clyde right there. That's
yeah, it was the best thing I've ever seen, and there was literally pressure on both of those doors.
I don't
know how she get in. I don't know how she gets out. She's got to have a car jack or something.
She needs a bunch of those Asian guys with sticks that they have in Japan that they just pack people onto the subway. There's a team of Oompa Loompas with pointy things, and they're just jabbing and pushing her into the car, and then another guy runs in and they weld the door shut. Let me ask you this. Did you ever see like a really fat person walking along, and they're wearing sneakers, and it's like you can just almost hear the fabric in the sneakers just screaming with every step. You know what I mean?
I've seen orthopedic shoes for fat people, Rick. They're like leather straps that are like the leather is actually like 1/4 inch thick, and it's just binding in, and the fat's like poking out. Oh, it's fantastic.
Let me just tell you this. I was at a water park once when I was a kid, and if you want to see fat people, nothing like a water park. So I was at a water park.
Or a Walmart.
Yes, that too. I was at a water park, and there was this woman, and she of course, like all women, and she was a woman of size, huge, wearing a bathing suit that on anybody else would not be revealing, but it's like, you can't help but be revealing when you're tipping the scales at like 350, 360.
The rolls coming out of places there shouldn't be rolls.
And all I'm going to say is this, is that she was a well-endowed woman in her bosom area, as many very obese women are. But here's the thing, and Sarah has talked before about, I'm grumpy today, my bra straps are cutting into me, or whatever it is, you know, they're a little tight. Here's the thing, is she had a lot of what scientists call back fat. And so she was all over fat. It wasn't just gut. This woman I saw at a water park when I was like 12. And that'll put you off thinking about any women in any sort of a sexual way for a long time. She had an all-over fat. It was very evenly distributed. She was sort of a fleshy bowling ball of a woman. And she was actually so fat, and the bikini top that she was wearing was so undersized.
Did you say bikini top?
It was, you know, like a two-piece.
Brother? Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know where you'd buy that. I mean, that's the thing. You got to go to the fabric world, and they swaddle you, and then they cut appropriately. She was so large, and the bikini was so tight that actually the bikini straps were, how do I put this? The bikini straps were covered because they just sunk down into the shoulder fat, and then the shoulder fat closed up over the straps like a fleshy clam.
Rolled over the top. Oh, that,
exactly. That's what I'm talking about. It's just like a reverse open sesame, just like some sort of a fleshy mollusk.
It's funny where fat will collect. I've seen fat ball guys that got like rolls on the back of their head.
We should end this now. Thank you, Rob.
Later.
All right, there you go.
I wish we could go to the news. We've got a break.
I know, we have to break
like,
now.
We are so far behind.
We're not far behind. We're like 4 minutes behind.
We're like 7 minutes.
Oh, that's not bad.
Man, Don and Mike didn't take a break last night for like an hour and a half.
You're just trying to punish Jim and make him hang on a little longer.
You know, before I hate to do this, but before we break, do you want to? Should we recap for everybody the sins of Jim Roop? He'll wait.
Okay,
Who are we kidding? So, there's been some speculation on this program from Sarah, basically, that Lisa Goddard from CNN Radio perhaps has a tiny little...
I don't cover my computer with wallpaper with her face on it.
I did not put that there. That is Will the Engineer, who I came in this morning. Look, I came in last week, and it was a bunch of tiny, hairless Filipino boys. All right? on my wallpaper. That's what he put it. That's what he had made the wallpaper on my computer. And I came in after that, and it was like Chuck Norris wearing tight boxer shorts and, you know, some kind of state. And so I came in today, and it's all, yeah, it's all Lisa Goddard on my desktop. But Lisa Goddard from CNN, she's the Washington correspondent, she had made this observation the other day on the phone for no readily apparent reason that she was wearing high heels. And I had noted that that was a little odd. I had many people, many of them females, by the way, in the audience, who'd speculated that she was, perhaps in some, maybe even unconscious way, trying to get me to visualize her wearing high heels. And you, by the way, Sarah Dillon.
What?
You yourself are the one who kind of started this, because you accused me for a while of having a crush on her, but then a couple weeks ago you did say that you believed that the worm had turned.
A little bit. Well,
and
just
that she had
a
crush on me.
That day she really did sound like she had a crush on you.
That's what
but
I'm saying.
Still not buying the high heel thing, yeah. And ever since then she hasn't showed any interest.
Right.
Well, she hasn't mentioned her footwear.
Product. Yeah.
She hasn't mentioned her footwear since then, but how many times can you really sneak that in?
Mm.
And we've only talked to her once. Anyway.
I think that if there are rumors circulating about you and, you know, in the CNN studios right now, chances are she's probably not going to be on our show for very much longer. So, I think this is going to take a weird turn.
She'll St. Clair us.
Yeah.
Okay, well, because...
We'll get Star Jones.
Because we asked Jim Roop yesterday. We said, Jim, let me ask you this. Let's suppose you were talking to a woman, and then apropos of nothing, she mentioned her high heels. And what did he say? He goes, is this Lisa Goddard? And we said, maybe. And so as Jim Roop, who we will talk to here after the break, as Jim Roop said yesterday, as he was ending his call, Jim Roop from CNN said, well, I'll kind of poke around at CNN and kind of see what I can learn. And we said, like, well, don't be obvious. And he's like, no. Nobody will know anything. I'm very subtle about these things. No one will know at all what I'm talking about. I'll be very, very vague about it. All of which works fine until you call CNN this morning and the first words out of Laura Caviezel's mouth are, so, Rick and Lisa, Jim Roop told me. So he was, in fact, not subtle at all.
No, and he told her something embarrassing. He told her that you were saying that you thought Lisa had a crush on you. So that's right. Just like, ew.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for that help. All right, so we'll take a break here. When we come back, Jim Roop will, he doesn't know we're going to bring that up, by the way. So, we'll come back. Oh, and listen to this. Now we're getting Fat Lady at Water Park stories. Excellent. My plan is working splendidly. Mystery noise revealed today at 2:20. 2:20 today, we will be revealing the mystery noise at long last. Stay there. The Rick Emerson Show continues there. Don't go anywhere. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. Be part of your listening day. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up at 2:20 today. The mystery noise revealed.
You haven't even played it today.
I haven't. I'm trying to find it, actually. Oh, there it is. Wait, hold on. Let me actually find it right now. It's in the Wednesday folder. It's going to be last played of yesterday. Wait, hold on. And... there we go. See, are you glad you heard it now? Yeah.
You're right, I kind of missed it.
We'll have to find a way to bring it back. It's like that Connie Chung thing.
Well, we'll have it because whoever wins, it's going to be their sounder.
It's going to be their sounder. And I will find an excuse to continue to play Connie Chung. That was me. That was instant karma right there for playing the mystery sound. All right. It's 503-733-2970.
I think that button could be in a worse place.
The microphone button? No, because it's right up
my coffee cup.
And your mouse. You're like rolling your mouse over.
And my mouse.
All right. Let's see. Well, I've got these calls, but we should probably get to our close friend and compatriot.
Oh, Jim.
Jim Roop, live from Los Angeles. Jim Roop. How are you, sir?
Doing all right.
How's your day today?
Day's fine. How's your day today?
Sounds a little standoffish.
Who, me? I'm never standoffish.
My day's been interesting, Jim.
What happened?
What happened? There are so many ways to answer that question, Jim Roop. Jim Roop, our friend who would never betray a confidence. Jim Roop, who would never...
The master of subtlety.
The master of subtlety, who, I believe on yesterday's program, said that he was going to investigate the Lisa Goddard issue without...
Oh, I did. You want me to tell you what I found out?
Here's... Would you like to know what we found out?
Yeah.
We found out when we called Laura Caviezel this morning that apparently she heard from Jim Roop That I've got a mad crush on Lisa Goddard.
That's not at all what I said. Uh-huh. That is a bold-faced lie.
Actually, what she said is that you said that Rick thought that she had a big crush on him.
Okay, but
she probably gleaned that from what I asked her.
What did you do, keeping in mind that during yesterday's program, Jim, no, Rick, I'm the paragon of subtlety. I, in no way, it'll be...
I didn't think Laura was that smart.
Oh, damn.
Feel free to repeat that.
One big happy family. Okay, well, what did you...
My face hurts from laughing.
Jesus God. All right, so, okay, well, let's... Two things in a row.
I asked her how much Lisa enjoys talking with you. If she looks forward to it on a daily basis.
Oh, God damn.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but you know what that is? That's
she
a whole...
complain about stuff, you know.
But that, you know what, but when you ask that, and I think we all just thought the same thing, when you ask that, you know what that is?
Check
that,
yes or no.
That's totally what that is. It's yeah. All in study hall. So, my friend Jeffrey kind of thinks you're cute, and he was wondering, like, do you have a date?
I don't even know,
spring
Jeff.
Formal, and that's totally, though, like, when you're asking somebody in school, that's like when you're doing a whole, like, so she was wondering if, like, you ever thought about her and, like, because the dance is coming up, and so, like,
Jim's
do you
on
have...
your side. He wouldn't have done anything to sabotage.
But I'm saying so, but Laura Caviezel, though, having had years in school of practice.
Well, she just got out of school, so... Real fresh for her.
What was the actual quote that she said to you this morning, Sarah? How did the conversation between you and Laura go?
She asked if I wanted to book Lisa Goddard because she heard quote from Jim Roop that Rick thinks she has a bit of a crush on him.
Okay. All right. So Jim was discreet, but Laura, in an astonishing leap of logic, actually was able to put the two together.
That surprises the hell out of me. That really does. I got to give it to her, though, man.
Well, I mean, even a stopped clock is right twice a day, Jim.
You know, you're right. I apologize.
That's okay. You couldn't have seen this intuition and intelligence on her part ahead of time.
I guess this women have this kind of radar for stuff like that, probably. And I should have approached my wife with and say, "How do I ask this?"
Yeah, you in the future, yes, filter these things through a female in your house. Though.
I will. I apologize.
I filter all of this stuff through Sarah because I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Now I have a female right here.
Do you?
I don't have one.
Oh, okay.
I got one at home, but I don't have one here.
You can keep her at home in a steamer trunk. Maybe you should get one. You should get an assistant.
Water in there.
You should get an assistant so you can, you know, just in case this should come up in the future.
Jeez. I'm sorry. Now I feel bad now.
No, don't feel bad. It's okay. It's okay. You know what it is? We've already got Pat St. Clair who refused to come on the show. So, I mean, Pat, did she even work for CNN anymore?
I don't know.
All right. Well, she quit. I mean, long before she left CNN, which I think she has, she quit. She refused to come on my show anymore. So that's okay. Just add one more for the pile. What? The pile of discarded anchors who are afraid of me.
Who's afraid of you?
Pat St. Clair was afraid of me, I believe.
But Lisa's not.
No, she's not yet. not yet.
You want me to call Laura and tell her to knock it off?
No. No, it's all very amusing. No, I think Lisa Goddard and I have a very intellectual journalist broadcaster relationship.
Well, good for you.
In which she occasionally mentions her high heels. No, she's great. No, we do love her quite a bit. And she's down there. She's doing the whatever the shuttle launch or whatever. Anyway, so no, we don't want to
book her for tomorrow.
We don't want to quit. No, because that's Saturday, isn't it?
No, she's going to be there tomorrow.
We should talk to Jim.
tomorrow is Friday.
Jim, I know, but I don't think she's doing the thing until Saturday. Listen to this, you bastards. Lisa Goddard from Cape Canaveral for Saturday's scheduled launch of Discovery.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean she's not going to be talking about it tomorrow because there's a whole lot of issues going on over there right now with that. I mean, that whole launch could be scrubbed.
There's a whole lot of issues going on here, too. Well, did you see this thing from NASA? I know it's not necessarily your story, but NASA literally on CNN.com, NASA publicly... said in their news story that the astronauts have a 1 in 100 chance of dying. Yeah. I mean, NASA said that. I mean, I know that it's true, but it seems like that's the sort of thing you wouldn't necessarily put out in, like, a press release. It's very strange. Literally, that was on CNN.com, that the NASA stressed the astronauts, you know, have a 1 in 100 chance of, you know, not surviving the flight, which is very, very bizarre.
Maybe they want ratings. Maybe they want people to tune into the launch because it's on a Saturday.
Yes, trying to amp up the tension.
It very well be.
Let me ask you this. We've been talking about Jackson a lot lately, Michael Jackson, because he's being sued in this breach of contract case. And it's... So Jackson is... He's living in Europe now?
Well... He's traveling through Europe looking for a place to live, considering Paris. Again, I'm pretty sure, according to Ramon Bain, the spokesperson, that he's still getting his mail, and, you know, people leave messages for him in Bahrain.
I'm not in at the moment.
Yeah.
Did they? Was he asked to leave Bahrain?
The sound of the camel.
Do we? Leave. I was going to say something really inappropriate, but I'm going to stop myself. Was he asked to leave Bahrain? Because we've heard that he displeased some of the people who were sort of his hosts there.
Yeah, I can't confirm that, but we did hear that they're getting ticked off at him never picking up a tab, if you will.
Right, right. Well, that seems to be the case. He's kind of leaving a trail of debt around the country, isn't he? Around the world.
World, yeah.
I mean, it seems like it. Europe is going to be the next place to extend him credit, and I think they're going to come to rue that decision.
There is nothing he won't make you buy him.
Right. This is completely, it's completely true. You know, the guy who's going to be smiling out of all of this is that Martin Bashir guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he hitched his wagon to the right star. Because during the trial last year, the sex abuse trial, there was like about a month and a half where everybody kind of turned and they thought that Martin Bashir was slimy and that Jackson was being unfairly maligned. But now we've just gone back to thinking that Jackson's a freak and that Bashir probably had it correctly. So
yeah, I mean, it was very brief when they thought Martin Bashir was slimy, but yeah, they did for a while there.
Hey, Azura, brief question. This doesn't really affect us directly, but I know that Schwarzenegger is sort of splitting the baby on this, and he's putting some troops on the border, but not as many as Bush wanted, blah, 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 blah.
Well,
are they there indefinitely, or how does that work?
They're there for a year and a half. First of all, they're not on the border. I mean, you know, the guard can't patrol the border unless the president declares martial law.
Right.
There's no law enforcement there. They're in support. There's two factions underneath that Border Patrol thing. There's the Customs and Border Protection, the guys in the blue uniforms who work at the port of entry.
Right.
Then there's the green-shirted Border Patrol guys who patrol in between the ports of entry and the interior and chase the guys down with the SUVs.
All right.
The guard is there to support the green-shirt guys, the Border Patrol. And the support, by support, I mean, you know, monitor their cameras, fix their cars, mend the fence, water the lawn. That's what they're to,
right,
they're to do, so that the Border Patrol agents can get back out and do some enforcement.
Did you see this thing? I don't know if it was Arizona or some other place where they wanted to do this thing of putting up like a jillion cameras and then having like home dudes on the internet, just like in your spare time, you just watch the border.
I never heard that, but that's
it's true.
Correct.
It was in the news. I think it's in Arizona where they want to put up just a bunch of literally like webcams and have a website where just like fat guys in their underpants in a basement somewhere can eat Cheetos and watch people, you know, and watch for guys sneaking through a fence.
Minutemen, the home version.
It's really, it's like the home game, INS, the video game. It's a strange world we live in, Jim Roop.
Well, someone's got to watch them.
All right, it's true. So, all right, so we'll let you know how things unfold. But please, don't you worry about smoothing anything out.
I feel really bad right now.
No, it's okay. Again, you could not have seen it coming that Laura Caviezel would correctly be able to
watch what I say to her. She's smarter than I think.
Well, you know, again, who knows? Maybe it was like a leap year or something. Maybe it might not happen again.
Maybe the stars are just aligned, right?
All right, Jim, have a good day. We will talk to you soon, my brother.
Thank you, sir.
All right, there you go.
Bye-bye.
CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. Jesus God. That whole company is just one big nest of vipers, isn't it? God.
Yeah, he obviously doesn't like her.
I mean, he said a couple things in the past about... Like, we would say, well, you know, like, Laura Caviezel was the booker at CNN, like, oh, she got something wrong, and he'd go, oh, what a surprise. But, I mean, any sort of sense of subtlety with that was just sort of thrown out today.
Yeah, I know, he used to kind of mask his disdain a little bit.
Really? It was like, she figured out, what? She's dumb as a post. All right, let me get this call, then we'll go to the city desk. But don't forget, Mystery Noise revealed today at 2:20, a little over half an hour from now. Mystery Noise revealed today at 2:20. James, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Oh, hey.
Hey.
Hey, so...
I'm bleeping that. That's an inappropriate comment. All right. No, sir. No, no.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you, no.
That never made
it. No, thank you. Thank you, no. Okay, we have to go now. Thank you. So, okay. Asking if in some way I became excited.
And he waited online to do that.
waited online to waste like 10 seconds of our lives.
For a comment that never made it on
For a comment that no one ever heard. All right. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley. Why would you say that? No need to work blue, sir.
No.
You'll never play the big rooms if you work blue.
No. From high out the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat, Tim Riley reporting. Well... The View co-host...
Yes!
Oh, is this Star Jones?
Yeah.
Yes.
So go to Bank B.
All right,
please.
Bank, hold on, let me sound Bank B. Mm-hmm. All right.
The View co-host Barbara Walters said on yesterday's show that she was caught off guard by star Jones Reynolds, sometimes she's called by this Reynolds name, announced Tuesday that she was leaving the show.
We didn't expect her to make this statement yesterday. She gave us no warning, and we were taken by surprise. But the truth is that Star has known for months that ABC did not want to renew her contract and that she would not be asked back in the fall.
Okay, and so I'm... Just for those who don't know what we're talking about here. So, Star Jones got married. And does anybody know anything about the guy she married?
He's gay. Allegedly. It's known.
The best part is, like, I didn't even finish the sentence. It's like, does anybody know? He's gay. So, he and David Guest are...
Allegedly, he is... it's a marriage of convenience.
That is Sarah Dillon who... Because you've opened this door. Now, is the speculation, Sarah, and again, this is only speculation, and we do not know anything about this. These are just rumors. The pundits, this is a sort of Page Six kind of suppositions. Is the theory that she is also on the other team, and so it's working out well for both of them?
No, she's... I think she's just enjoying the benefits of...
Of what?
To him. He's a banker. He's exactly. Very successful. He has a lot of money.
Oh, well, she's going to need that.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. This Scotty J is asking a valid question here. He is typing now to me on the screen. Who discovered Star Jones and why? What did she appeal to? What on earth did she ever bring to the table? That's a fair point. Does anybody, and I really honestly do want to know this, does anybody know, because I know she flaps her gums all the time. I've got it wrong. What does Jim Rome say? She bumps her gums. A lot about, that's a great friend, she bumps her gums about how she used to be a lawyer. That's, she's constantly saying that, well, honey, when I was a lawyer, and it's like, no one cares. First of all, I don't think anybody believes that. And even if you were a lawyer, you were most assuredly a bad one. So, can you imagine being represented by Star Jones? Well, just hang yourself and save yourself the trouble. You know, we find the defendant guilty and the counsel irritating and pretentious. So, I don't know why they hired her or what she was doing. Tell me she wasn't a radio show host or something. Because...
Now you're thinking of Whoopi Goldberg.
So this...
Well, maybe you're not, because nobody else is.
Zing. Okay, so... But what does he get out of it, though? Well, he's a banker, right? And Sarah says the speculation is that he may be the gay. And so that's why he's married... to Star Jones, and then she gets the money, and then I guess it seems like if you're a banker, you could have anybody. It's like David Guest and Liza Minnelli. Like, what was... Liza Minnelli? I mean, why? I sounded like Burgess Meredith there. Why? So many things about this I don't understand. Okay, well...
I don't know, but yeah, that's
all right.
Been the rumor since the day
God,
they started...
She's such a repellent woman. She's such a horrid, person.
And then not to mention she doesn't talk one word about the 200 pounds she lost, you know, and refuses to admit that she had gastric bypass.
They say, actually, that the audience was turned off by her rapid weight loss. And again, it's not by the weight loss, but it's by the fact that she wouldn't cop to the fact that she got stapled.
Nope, yeah, she's just like, oh, well, you know, eating right and exercise.
Eating right.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm eating some staples and thread. That's what she's eating. Yeah. So... eating a scalpel. So Star Jones got married and then engaged, allegedly, in what we here in the radio business would refer to as plugola or payola, in which one speaks about a client, a company, a store, a restaurant, in exchange for under-the-table money or goods or services, something we do not engage in here at CBS Radio because that is wrong. And but she allegedly engaged in that with a whole lot of, and my wedding is being catered by.
No, it isn't even she just flat out did it.
Well, I don't watch The View, so I don't know, but that was it, right? You were relentless plugola.
She was wearing, logos of,
you're
like,
kidding
catered.
Me.
Just so tacky. Yeah, the woman is just, ugh.
And so ABC had enough of that. They would fix her little red wagon. And so they just, we're going to give her the boot. And so she tried to be preemptive and be like, my last day is going to be next month. And ABC was like, no, it's now, goodbye. And they just booted her, right? That's the whole thing. Okay, so there we go. So that's what this is all about. Okay, let's go to the second.
So Walter said on today's show that ABC tried to protect Star Jones Reynolds when it decided not to renew her contract.
We gave her time to look for another job,
gave
and we hoped that she
job.
Would announce it here in the program and leave with dignity. But Star made another choice.
Oh.
And since her announcement yesterday, she has made further announcements that have surprised us.
Barbara Walters, man, you don't want to screw with her.
People, yeah.
People, they roll their eyes and they make the... If I never hear the phrase Baba Wawa again, it's no longer funny. Sarah doesn't even know what we're talking about.
It's a 70s thing.
There's a whole generation of DJs
it's
that
an
think...
an old SNL worn-out joke.
Yeah, it's, Gilda Radner used to do this takeoff in her called Baba Wawa.
It was never funny.
It was never funny.
People anyone. People, only to other comedians.
And people who were high. If you were in the 70s and stoned, you thought it was hilarious. Most of the things that people thought were, Dave's not here, meant not funny. Certainly not funny now, at least. Anyway, but all the hack DJs from that era, they all still say Baba Wawa and they think it's hilarious. Not funny. Stop it now. Just play some more Foghat. Anyway, but people just laugh at her, but you know what? She still swings a big stick. You don't want to screw with her. She's still a bit of, she still has drag, as they say. She has a little bit of weight. You want to mess with her. And you can tell that Barbara Walters was the one who dropped the axe because you can tell because she being so polite about it. Listen one more time. You can tell when they're, because if you have no power to change anything, like on this program, we have no power to do anything, which is why we bitch about things constantly. We can't do anything about it. When you are very polite and soft-spoken like that, it's because you have all the power and you don't have to be loud or abrasive for anybody.
We gave her time to look for another job and we hoped then that she would announce it here in the program and leave with dignity. But Star made another choice.
So I've had her killed.
The wrong one.
Yesterday,
yeah.
She has made further announcements that have surprised us.
That's a whole lot of, she chose poorly, and I have had her beheaded. So there you go. So Barbara Walters, don't cross her. All right.
Well, I'm afraid Superman has a disappointing opening.
Oh.
Only $19 million. It's okay. Not great, not terrible. Predictions are that Superman Returns could muster $100 million for the long July 4th weekend, which in many U.S. households will continue from Friday to Tuesday, but the problem is not only the film's $200 to $250 million budget, but the movie will get swamped next weekend by the release of Pirates of the Caribbean number 2.
I gotta tell you, man, the trailer for Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest looks really good. And I had mixed feelings about the first one. Do we all like Pirates of the Caribbean? Do we all even see it?
Yep.
Yeah.
I thought it was okay. Too long.
Too long.
Yeah. Way too long. But you can't. Tim and I were talking about this earlier. Johnny Depp is, he's genius. He's the best actor of his generation. There's no doubt about that. And he's great. Mm-hmm.
But he has a connoisseur's interest in his work, I would say. And probably not as widespread as Disney.
See, Tim doesn't think that Johnny Depp has wide appeal, but is that what you're saying?
Right.
I disagree, though. I think that in this, I think it's all about the Disney brand.
Mm.
And so, I don't know, but the first one was too long, but he's great.
Yeah.
The trailer for this second one looks really good. It looks real, because they clearly know what people responded to in the first one, which was the one-liners and the sort of, the pithy Keith Richards character that he plays. And so they really play that up, at least in the trailer. It looks really good. And then the third one, they've already filmed, and that's going to come out. And that one actually has Keith Richards in it, so that'll be great. And then I saw the trailer for, Spider-Man 3. That looks really good, too. So
I can't wait to see the scene I saw being filmed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The trailer, it's just a teaser, actually. They don't show a whole lot. It's just but it's just because I think the villain in this one is Venom. And it looks really good, though.
Well, is 2006 the year of Superman? The Man of Steel is making the big screen, of course, this summer for the first time. And now, Ben Affleck is taking on the mysterious death of original TV Superman George Reeves in the upcoming drama Hollywoodland. Now, the title of this has already changed twice. It probably will again. Coming to theaters in September, Affleck plays Reeves, a man at odds with his fame. Also in this movie is Adrian Brody. Remember him? He was the pianist.
Oh, he was the...
And Diane Lynn plays Tony, the woman who had an affair with, well, allegedly, who was paying for the mortgage because the Superman salary couldn't cover it.
So we've always been saying, we don't dislike Ben Affleck on the show, or I would say that I don't anyway. I don't dislike him, it's just he's had a rather unfortunate series of choices in his career, both professional and otherwise. And, But we kind of got a Superman thing here, too. And so we were always saying, what's Ben Affleck doing? And so this is the movie. This is the true, it's a docudrama, I guess.
It's based on a book.
It is based on the life of George Reeves,
correct,
who played Superman in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pretty fascinating story, too, because some people claim he was killed. Some people claim he killed himself. Because there were no fingerprints found, though, on the gun or anywhere. So it's all very mysterious. And he had kind of a troubled life anyway.
Yeah, and he was having an affair with the wife of a studio executive.
And that's, again, she was paying all of his expenses.
She was paying the mortgage and so forth and so forth.
Which is what led to the talk of a Superman curse, George Reeves. So that's good. Well, let's get a couple of these clarifying. These are not about the mystery news. clarifying the Star Jones issue. I have to be careful I say that now. Because I can see, but no.
Clarifying question.
No, here on AM 970 Solid State Radio, we're kind of now going to be clarifying some Star Jones issues. And how insane that that's like a pleasing, you know, derivation, the deviation from the thing. Hi, Trevor, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, Rick, I don't know if you even heard about this, but Rosie is replacing Star.
Yeah, and you know.
How ridiculous is that?
It's, you know, but I got to say that she won't be as irritating as Star Jones. Like, they've set the bar so low that even Rosie O'Donnell, who used to be funny. Rosie O'Donnell, yeah. Who years ago, like Jay Leno, was funny. And then it was all extracted somehow by aliens or whatever. But, I mean, after Star Jones, like, anybody's better. You know, not that I watched The View anyway, but, I mean, you know.
Right.
So, but didn't it part of this that Rosie O'Donnell and Star Jones hated each other?
Yeah. Yeah.
And Rosie O'Donnell.
Good luck to The View.
Yes, and Rosie O'Donnell's a lot more influential than Star Jones is. And I mean, look, at least I know people. I'm not one of them, but I know people who like Rosie O'Donnell. Most of them are, you know, women who drive Bajas. But I mean,
yeah, exactly.
I don't know anybody, gay, straight, male, female, black or white, who likes Star Jones. Not a single person. So, all right.
I still won't be tuning in.
Good for you, Trevor. And I will be with you and not watching. Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. That's Trevor.
So Barbara Walters quits. And there's another opening.
If Barbara Walters quits, that show will be hosed. Nobody will ever watch it.
Because they'll get Rosanna Barr.
Is it Joy Behar?
I thought that was her show, though.
Barbara Walters?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, but she may just decide, like, this is enough and it's stupid and they're not paying me enough. And if it is her show, does she own that show, do you think?
I'm not sure.
Because then she could keep making the money. Well, see, then she wouldn't, to be honest, she could keep making the money, let make Merv Griffin and just have her name on it. Is Joy Behar still on there?
Yes.
Boy, that's like having the nails pounded into your ears. I mean, this is, listening to Joy Behar, I'm sure she's a nice person, but I mean, boy, listening to that voice, it's like having a power sander taken to a delicate area. Let's see. What?
We were just trying to visualize that. We probably had two different thoughts.
I know.
Let's visualize it now. Terry, hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hi, Rick.
Hi, hey. Terry.
Hey.
Hey.
Listen, Star Jones was the / reporter lawyer for the O.J. Simpson trial in L.A.
Really?
Yeah.
Everybody
covered the whole thing.
Boy, I just hate everybody associated with that case because, you know, out of the O.J. case, we got Marsha Clark, we got Chris Darden,
terrible.
Johnny Cochran, Barry Scheck, what's her name, Diane Diamond, God, who else? What? Cato Kalin, everybody who came out of it. You know, the great thing about that O.J. case is it was really a little bit like, as I'm one of my favorite analogies, it is sort of like a self-cleaning oven in that no one got away clean. It took everybody down with it. Like everybody associated with that case went down in the wake. No one got away. Yeah.
And also, Rosie O'Donnell is not replacing Star. She's replacing Meredith Vieira.
Meredith Vieira, who went over to replace Katie Couric.
Right.
Why do we even talk about this? Who cares?
Yeah, Barbara Walters actually does own the show.
All right. I can't believe we've spent... The amount of time we've spent on this is so disproportionate to anyone's interested in, including ours.
Yeah,
all right,
I'm glad Star's gone. I think she's a pain.
She's a stain?
She's a pain.
Oh, all right.
Pain in the neck.
All right. Thank you, Terry.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right.
Welcome, bye.
All right,
goodbye. No, I've never seen The View, but yesterday I was looking for YouTube clips of Barbara Walters putting the smackdown on Star Jones.
Yeah. It's on there.
Yeah. Well, I was looking at some of the other clips, and, man, that show is really hard to watch.
Yeah. And
Star Jones screaming at a bunch of guests.
And she kept going on about her... She wouldn't talk about her weight loss because she kept going on about her breast augmentation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in detail that... Look, there's certain times you want chicks to be talking about their bosoms. Like most of the time. And then there's sometimes you do not want women talking about their bosoms. Like with Star Jones and so forth. Because then you're just picturing, you know. I'm just picturing like some, like a bucket full of something unpleasant at the hospital.
Oh.
That's what I'm talking about. And then the restapling of things. All right. It's 203?
Should we break?
It's 3 minutes on the right side at 2 o'clock. Here's what we at 2:20 today. The mystery noise will be revealed. The mystery noise revealed at 2:20. I do want to try to get that Borderline Baby song played again today. And you want to hear the Connie Chung thing
again. I
really
want to hear the Connie Chung thing.
And then Jen Lane is presumably going to be here at some point today.
She is. She's called me.
We've got the city desk. So should we try to sneak in one of those songs or should we come back with one of them?
Let's do a song.
All right. Let's do this Borderline Baby song. It's going to make us late, but what are you going to do? So we're going to play this Borderline Baby song. This is a guy, Benjamin, sent this to us. This is from a submission from the Rick Emerson audience. We had many requests for this. And then later on, Connie Chung and the Mystery Sound Kids revealed at 2:20. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Don't go anywhere.
A little unstable, she has her mood swings. She manipulates me like a puppet on strings. She's abusive and hostile, then loving and sweet. It's a fatal attraction, she's my borderline baby. She acts like she's two when I won't buy her toys. She's a little delusional and paranoid. She's helpless and hopeless emotionally. She's a girl interrupted, she's my borderline baby.
That's the moment when the song really achieves genius here on the Rick Emerson Show.
No, sometimes when she puts out, I might get really close, cause she changes her mind. She feels empty inside, I can't do a thing.
A guy named Benjamin here on the...
She's working real hard at self-destructing.
Here on the Rick Emerson Show.
She slept with my best friend because she felt lonely. Like Marla from Fight Club, she's my borderline baby. She's mean and vindictive, she broke my TV. Up, the cops arrested me. She ran up my visa, I know she won't pay. So play Misty for me, she's my borderline baby. No,
Rick Emerson Show.
She tells me I hate her and I wonder why. But she's proud of my name that she carved in her thigh. She's shallow and heartless, but what can I do? I can't help but love her. I guess I must like the abuse.
We should have made this part of our fake metal lyrics. This would have fooled somebody.
I can't help but love her. I guess I must like the...
There you go. Borderline Baby by a man named Benjamin. You stay there. The Rick Emerson Show continues next. Don't go anywhere.